Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll be picking up at the moment, page 22 in your guide. As always, during our study editions, the phone lines are not open so that everyone can listen and participate. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The writer of Hebrews defines faith this way. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then he goes on and says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so that's what we're talking about, the essence of faith, and especially how it was revealed to us in the story of Abraham. And that's what this chapter is all about, chapter 3 of the study guide, the essence of faith. And before we get into the section that we're going to really cover today, the moment and all the way through to the end of the chapter, I just want to take a few moments to kind of recap where we've been in this particular chapter.
Sure.
So Abraham is considered the father of all who believe, both the Jew and to Gentile. So if we're going to know about faith, then we really need to look at his life and see how that faith expressed itself. And so we see those stories in Genesis 12, 15, and 22. In Genesis 12, God appeared to Abram and said, I want you to leave where you are and go to a place that I will direct you. And then he gave these four promises, that he was going to make Abraham a great nation and bless him, that he was going to make his name great and make him a blessing to others, that he was going to bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed him, and then he was going to bless all peoples of the earth through him. A pretty grand promise as far as God's blessing of Abraham. And we looked at that and said, when God shows up in our lives, what does he bring? And most of us think that he will probably bring condemnation and judgment and punishment. But here in this story, we see something completely different. When God showed up in Abraham's life, he brought blessings and promises. And that's exactly how God showed up in your life. He brought the blessing and promises of Jesus Christ to you through his death, burial, and resurrection. We call that grace.
Yes.
That is God taking the initiative to bring blessings and promises into our lives. Now, in Genesis 15, we see another promise that was given to Abram, and he was having this conversation with God and was kind of concerned about his legacy. You know, who's going to inherit all that I have? And right now, the only one in my household that would do that is the son of a slave woman. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm concerned about that. And God said, you don't need to be concerned about that, because you will have a son. And he will bless the world, and all the promises that I gave to you will flow through Isaac. And so Abraham believed God concerning that promise of the son, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So that's really the essence of faith for us. We believe God's promise concerning Jesus. And when we believe that promise concerning Jesus, then righteousness is credited to our account. So faith is tied to Jesus. There's no such thing really as faith apart from Jesus. It's just an empty, hollow, meaningless word. But when Jesus shows up, that word faith fills with life and substance and meaning. So faith is attached to Jesus, to Jesus Christ. So in Genesis 22, that faith is going to be tested. God is going to test that faith of Abraham and see the genuineness of it. And so he puts a test before God that none of us would want to endure or experience. And God said to Abraham, I want you to take this son of promise, Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him. And so we read that story last week. And, you know, if we thought about that story happening in modern times, You know, we turn on our television sets and we hear, you know, the news talking head telling us about Abraham taking his son Isaac, and just it would just be an uproar.
Absolutely.
We would think Abraham's insane. Yeah. We would take Isaac away from him. You know, the Israeli Child Protective Services would come and remove him, and it would just be this whole sordid story. But we don't see it in those terms. We see it in terms of Abraham being this giant of the faith.
Right.
So let's pick up with that. So Abraham has gathered, you know, all the supplies, has gathered Isaac, and he has taken a three-day journey, and he has arrived at Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is where Jerusalem is today. It's where the Temple Mount is today.
So the city had not even been established at that particular
not
point.
At all. Yeah. Not at all. So it was just a mountain
yeah.
of sacrifice. And so he prepares the altar, and then he puts Isaac up on it, and then he reaches his hand out, takes the knife, and he's ready to slay Isaac, his son, to do exactly what God had said for him to do. Now, the Lord intervened, and that's where we're going to pick up today, Genesis 22:11-13. So if you're following along in your study guide and your Bible, turn to Genesis 22:11-13, and here's what Moses wrote about this story. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, for you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So what have we learned about Abraham's faith that enabled him to carry out God's command? Well, we've learned that he believed God. He took God at his word.
Right.
He believed that Isaac was going to be the son of promise, that through Isaac the world was going to be blessed. So as we talked about last week, Abraham reasoned in his mind that God could bring Isaac back to life. So that was what enabled him to carry out this test, and to pass this test. He had a strong belief and conviction in his heart, in his mind, that God could raise Isaac back to life.
Right.
Boy, what a strong faith.
Absolutely.
To think of that. So at this point, what happened? Well, God intervenes, and he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy," and Abraham followed that advice as well, and
yeah,
he saw a ram. He saw a ram caught in the thicket, and he sacrificed that ram instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide," and to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." So we see that God provides. He delivers on his promises. He provides, and that pushes us forward to how exactly he did provide. In that particular story, it was a ram caught in a thicket, but there was another lamb that was going to be sacrificed, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And when we look at John 1:29, that's exactly what we see. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So what is God's provision for man? It is Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus became that sacrifice. God did not spare his only son. He sent Jesus so that we could have life everlasting. That is the good news of this gospel story. And we see that foreshadowed in this story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham willing to sacrifice his son. God sent Jesus, and Jesus became the once-for-all sacrifice for man, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
So that's the good news of the gospel, and that's what this story really is all about, and that's the essence of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. It's available along with each week's study notes at basicgospel.net/teaching. That's our main website, basicgospel.net, followed by a slash and the word teaching. Also, we have a gift for you when you sign up for ministry emails. It's our ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, a powerful resource to set you on the path of joy and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. To get your free electronic copy today, simply click subscribe at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Okay, time to get back to our study.
Well, it is time to get back. And we want to turn now to the New Testament and kind of look how God impressed on New Testament writers to tell this story of Abraham, to give it some real meaning as far as you and I are concerned. Abraham was almost 4,000 years ago. I mean, this story took place around 2000 B.C.
Right.
So a lot of time has passed. So how does a story that happened so long ago relevant to us today? Mm-hmm. You know, how does it really shape our thinking, shape our faith in Jesus Christ? Well, let's take a look at a couple of passages. First, Hebrews 11:19. So when told to take Isaac's life, Abraham reasoned that God had the power to raise him back to life. So we ask this question, how was his faith rewarded according to Hebrews 11:19? Well, here's what that passage said. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So how was Abraham rewarded? He was rewarded with the life of Isaac. So he received him figuratively, in a manner of speaking, back from death. Mm-hmm. Wow, that is so powerful. Can you imagine the joy that just flooded Abraham's soul, that he didn't actually have to drop that knife into the heart of his son and then burn him as a burnt sacrifice? That he didn't have to do that he had his son fully alive and filled with the promise that through him the world is going to be blessed.
Yeah.
What joy, what joy. Well, you can imagine the joy in God's heart as he raised Jesus from the dead so that you and I could be raised from the dead physically.
And
so,
have life, yes.
Absolutely. So how was Abraham rewarded? He received Isaac back to life. So how does this relate to us? How is it relevant to us today? So we ask this question. Abraham was tested, and at the critical moment, his faith proved genuine. He truly believed God had power over death. So in Romans 10:8-9, we ask this question. What does God ask you to believe? And I think this is one of those significant signature passages in the New Testament. It's one that we need to memorize, to underline, to really dig into, to find out what it exactly means for us today. So Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And well, I'm just going to read that for us, and then we're going to ask a couple of questions. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the heart. So Romans 10, 8 and 9, but what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. So Paul is taking an Old Testament passage out of the book of Deuteronomy, and significantly it's a passage in which God is putting up before the people, choose either life or death. Through obedience or through faith, you choose life. Through disobedience, through unbelief, you choose death. So that was what he was putting before the people, this choice of life or death. Well, that's what the gospel puts before us, a choice to remain dead or by faith to receive Jesus and come alive in him. This really is a death or life situation. So if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And as the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So what does God ask us to believe? He asks us to believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the connecting point yes. as far as faith is concerned. Now, it's kind of interesting here. Most of us look to Jesus for forgiveness of sins. We believe that he died to take away our sins. But there's no mention of the cross. There's no mention of forgiveness in this passage. It's all tied to resurrection.
Yes.
That is a significant point for us to see. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, without the resurrection, our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. So again, faith is tied to Jesus, and it's tied to the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's what Abraham believed about God, that he had power over death. That's what we believe about God, that Jesus was actually raised back to life. And because he was raised back to life, we too can be raised back to life. So where does this belief take place? As this passage says, in the heart. If we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Well, what is the heart? Well, we think of it as that organ that pumps blood throughout our system. And, you know, that's certainly right. But that's not the biblical definition. It's really a word that's used figuratively when the writers of the New Testament use the word heart. They're not talking about a particular organ. They're talking about the essence of who we are, the center of our lives. Now, when we were lost, the center of our lives was the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those three things shaped who we are, formed who we are, directed what we were and what we would do. Everything was centered in this world system. Repentance moves us away from that center and centers us on Jesus. And it's in this new centering that we find life. And that life is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the heart is the seat and center of human life. It's also the seat of the intellect, or which means the mind, or the seat of understanding. So when faith hits us, we have an understanding in our minds that real life, true life, genuine life, all that we were looking for, all that we longed for, all that we needed is found in Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. If Jesus just died and remained in the empty tomb, or not in the empty tomb, it wouldn't be empty.
Yeah.
If he died and remained in the tomb, there is no faith. But he is alive, and so he stands in front of us figuratively, and we can trust him and recognize that he is what I've longed for,
right.
That he is everything that I've wanted, that I've desired in life. Jesus is God's answer to my problem. And so I believe in the heart. My heart moves from the world system to Jesus. So I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. He's standing right in front of me. And as a result, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, back in the book of Deuteronomy, I just want to take a look at a couple of passages in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Much of what Paul talks about in Romans 10, he is relating to this particular chapter. And in verse 6 of chapter 30, he says this, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live." Okay, so God has to do something in our hearts. He has to circumcise us. He has to cut away that attachment we had to the world, to the flesh, and to the devil. He has to sever that tie that we had with sin. And so that's what he does by grace. Paul talks about that in Colossians chapter 2, that in the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made us alive together with Christ, that we have this circumcision, not one done by hands, but done by the Spirit of God. So that's what God has done for us by grace. He has circumcised our hearts, and so now we have hearts that can believe, that God raised Jesus from the dead. We see in John chapter 16 that the world's sin is unbelief in Jesus.
Right.
God was going to send the Holy Spirit into the world to convict the world wrong of sin, righteousness, and judgment concerning sin, because the world does not believe in Jesus. So what's the problem of the world? Unbelief. Unbelief. Well, how is that going to change? God's going to have to do something to our hearts. He's going to have to circumcise these hearts. And that's what he does in the gospel. And when he does, now we have hearts of belief. Hearts that believe in Jesus. Hearts that recognize him as the center of our very lives. So when Paul says Christ is our life, that's what our heart is saying. Christ is now our life. Not the things in the world, not the identities that I've had out there in the world, not the money that I've earned or set aside from what I've done in the world, not statue, not power. None of those things matter anymore. It's Christ and Christ alone. That's the essence of faith. So God has circumcised our hearts, and so it's within our hearts that we believe that God raised him from the dead, and with that heart of belief, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
So what's the story of Abraham? It's really spelled out for us in these passages in Romans chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yeah.
Now, I know there might be some out there listening today that have never come to faith in Jesus Christ. And today I'm encouraging you to allow God to circumcise your heart so that you can believe strongly and with conviction that your life is going to be found in Christ and Christ alone, that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and that you will confess today with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And so I just want to lead us in a prayer. And belief in the resurrection is critical, because if we don't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you're not going to believe that God can raise you to walk in the newness of life. So today, will you let today be the day of your salvation, when your heart gets centered upon Jesus as your very life? Well, if so, let's just pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus, that you did not spare your Son, but you provided him to meet our needs. First, to take away our sins through his death on the cross, to put an end to our old way of life through his burial, and then to raise us up to walk in the newness of life through his resurrection from the dead. And we thank you for that. And so today, I ask you to come into my heart, to raise me to life, so that I can walk in the newness of life by faith in you. We thank you for this, and we praise you for it, in Christ's matchless name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's the story. That's the essence of faith. Abraham believed that God had power over death. That's what we believe as believers. That's what distinguishes us from every other religious group, the resurrection of Jesus and the deep conviction in our heart that God indeed raised him from the dead. That's good news.
That is great news. And friends, if you prayed along with Bob and asked the living Christ into your heart, we would love to hear from you. You can drop us an email and let us know that you found new life in Jesus by addressing us at bob@basicgospel.net. We truly would love to hear from you. Also, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Keep in mind that Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the book, and the study guide, along with the weekly study notes, are available at basicgospel.net/teaching. That's basicgospel.net/teaching. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel needs your help to keep the good news on the air. We ask you to join with us today by clicking donate on our website, basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Also, we want to remind you to download the Basic Gospel app. It's loaded with features to help you stay connected with the best news this world will ever hear. It's available now in the App Store. Well, again, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for the absent Richard Piper, and for the Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ.